Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston-Nortman, KBN on 94.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and streaming live at ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. The 414 Hour on KBN is brought to you by Siding Unlimited. Siding Unlimited is Wisconsin's leader in Pella window installation. Looking for new windows, siding, roof, and doors? Visit them at SidingUnlimited.com.
It's the 414 Hour at 4 on KBN. He is Kyle Wallace. I'm Ben Brust alongside Badger football alum Bradley Nortman.
Tough to wear that association this season. Tough to wear it.
Not good, Jack.
Not good, Brad. Do the kids still do W like this?
I haven't seen the W thrown in a while.
They've lost quite a bit of games.
The kids.
Not good.
The kids.
It's not good, guys.
Dude, they're waving their shirts with more energy than they're doing the jump around.
That's a remarkable trend, though.
It works with any
energy. It's a very remarkable trend.
It was the second best part of that game outside of the fake punt that shouldn't have been a fake punt.
No, man, listen. Thank goodness to that kid, Sean West, giving us some life. Got to leave it to a Wisconsin kid.
Leave it to the punters.
Dude, did you watch that play?
Yes, it was electric, but it didn't matter.
Oh, it was electric.
You're being losery.
Well, I'm just following suit of what the hell that program is. Losery. That's what they are. They're bottom feeders. The worst team in the Big Ten. What? Can somebody do the math? Last week I was told that in conference play they're averaging less than a touchdown. Now, I'm not a mathematician.
Yeah, I think I told you they were 18th in points scored in conference games.
So they said they're averaging less than 7 points per game in conference play. I am not a mathematician.
It had to go down.
So if we're averaging less than a touchdown per game in conference play, boy, that is like the worst Big Ten team in history. I just want y'all to know right now.
There are 134 D1 football programs. You know where we rank offensively?
132nd.
Yeah, that's exactly right, actually.
We're
the third worst.
Who's ahead?
I don't even know.
Well,
they must be bad.
I tell you, Phil Longo, I blame him.
Why?
I don't know. That's what Luke Fickell did. He fired Phil Longo, brought in Jeff Grimes. He told his boy, this offense is going to take off. So I blame Phil Longo because Jeff Grimes has come in and he's done what? Yo,
six-pack abs jokes on YouTube that Strove should coach.
The Badgers?
At least that team would have heart.
Like, I actually believe that, like, Strove could motivate the Badger players more than Luke Fickell.
That's what they should do to raise money. Is you should pay for $1 million cash.
Oh,
you can coach the football team this week.
We'll fire them. I can't do it.
I'll get them boys hyped up. Let's go.
You don't have the mill.
Up down. We doing up down.
You pay $1 million and you coach them?
If I had $1 million, you get to coach them. Fire Luke Fickell. You pay $1 million. Get to coach the team this week. I'm the coach this week, fellas. I mean, it's a joke anyways, so you might as well keep the joke going. You want to be an assistant coach? $500,000. Come on. Might as well. I'm so serious. I am like, y'all think I'm joking.
I am so serious
right now. I could go grab some boys that I know who love football around the state of Wisconsin, high school coaches and all that. We can coach Wisconsin to this performance. Oh, we just lose. I mean, that's what it is. We gotta get a field goal and I'm more impressive. That's it.
Do you know how many points they're averaging in conference play?
Okay, last week I was told it was less than 7, so I think it's now like 6 exactly.
5.
Oh,
exactly.
Oh my god.
Exactly 5 points.
Bro, and they played Maryland and Iowa.
Well,
Iowa, Michigan, Ohio State.
I mean,
7 of those were against Michigan.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. First drive. Remember when I texted you after they scored a touchdown? I said, okay.
Yeah, and almost got me to tweet about, like, hey, I've been pretty negative, but look at them go.
I'm glad
and
you did.
And I refrained because I ain't no idiot.
No,
good for you.
You are no idiot, boy.
Let's go to the Carbless Talking text line. Bill Johnson, a teammate over at 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. Bill,
hey,
you're up with KBN.
Bill.
What's up, Bill?
How are you guys doing, fellas? I just want to make sure that I caught the gist of this. Was there concern over the fact that LaFleur came out and said that he looked at Jordan Love and decided to go for it?
Bill.
There was, Bill.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not me, Bill. Let him
You're
know,
reactive.
Bill.
That's
Let him know, Bill.
I thought about it. It's absolutely a brilliant coaching move because you got this. He's still a relatively young guy. I mean, he's been around for a while. He's a starting quarterback, no question. But he constantly hears over and over again, well, it was Brett Favre, and then it was Aaron Rodgers, and now it's him. So, man, no pressure. He's just got to be a Hall of Famer. And I don't know whether he's going to do that or not. It's a young locker room. I don't know how much most of these guys know about the past in Green Bay, but they hear it too. There's two Hall of Famers that came before him, and then you got this guy. He's talented. He's won some games, but he hasn't won a Super Bowl. He's not. We don't know that he's a Hall of Famer yet. They went, first of all, they went for it because LaFleur thought they could make it. I don't know if he had time to talk to Steno. I don't know what he did, but they went because LaFleur thought that he could make it, okay? So they get after the game, and LaFleur says, hey, I looked my quarterback in the eye, and he said we could make it, or he thought we could make it, so I sent him back out there. I just felt it. So they made it.
I agree, you know, that it would be heady, Bill, to from a confidence boost building standpoint, if that's what you're getting at. But I have a hard time believing that Matt LaFleur is that far ahead of the game when you look at how Cleveland and Dallas went down.
He thought they could make it. That's why they went. Whatever Love did is fine. So he comes out after the game. They made it. And he says, well, yeah, I looked my quarterback in the eye, and we thought we could make it. Let's say, and meanwhile, the great barometer, you know, Kyle Wallace is thrilled now with Jordan Love. It's great to see it. Glad he spoke up and everything, right? So what happens if they don't make it? If they don't make it, does LaFleur come out in the press conference and say, well, I looked Jordan in the eye and he thought we could make it, so that's why we made it? No. If they don't make it, you don't hear anything about the look on Jordan Love's face. If they don't make it, I'm completely confident LaFleur comes out and says, you know what? We looked at it. We thought we could make it. We didn't execute. That's on us.
Then why send the field goal unit out and burn a timeout?
Because he decided as he sent the field goal unit out there that he was going to make.
That's the problem.
There's indecision, Bill. It's not good in the crunch time.
I still don't think it has anything to do with it. But the whole mentioning the thing with Love, I think is brilliant because it gives him cred in the locker room. It gives them cred with the fans. All of a sudden, they look at it and say, wow, you know, this guy's really gained the trust of the head coach. And if he takes a few slings and arrows, look at him. Does he care? I don't think so. So I think it's for a quarterback that's still as good as he's been, still finding his footing, maybe not so much in the locker room, but finding his footing with the fan base and finding his footing with the media as far as a leader goes, they look at it and go, you know what? He trusts the guy.
Yep.
Well, thank you for the call, Bill. We appreciate it. That was our guy Bill Johnson on the Carlos Talking text line. So now we're propping the 6-year quarterback up.
I actually need to derail for a moment. So during Bill's call there, Kyle got in my ear and said, "Did they say Jordan Love said something on the broadcast?"
On the broadcast, they said Jordan Love said.
To which I shook my head no because I didn't hear it. And then Kyle said, how are you going to tell me what I heard?
It was the way he shook his head. He basically gave the look to me that I'm sure Jordan Love gave to Matt LaFleur. Like, oh, okay. It's
dismissive?
It was very dismissive. Like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? What are you making sense? And so he said, what are we not going for?
Why
did
you ask me for verification if you were just going to dismiss
because
whatever I said?
I love Uncle Bill, but his scenario and his theory about the post-game press conference just telling us, I heard on the broadcast they said Jordan Love came to the sideline and it looked like he said something to Matt LaFleur. I heard it. You're looking at me. I literally, in the moment, I said, hell yeah! That's what I'm talking about.
All right, well, you have a phone that probably records games.
I think they said
games.
They interacted.
Can you go back and check
an
the
interaction
work?
Could be nonverbal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think they said they interacted. I don't know if they said they talked.
I'm not gonna
really splitting hairs.
I don't have the tech now.
Now we're going so deep into the did he look at him? Did he not? Did he talk to him?
How
did
you gonna
not?
Was eye contact made?
Look at the lengths we have gone to now prop this up as now Jordan Love, you know, is finding his way as
it,
a leader.
It is.
Or the
it
media.
Is.
It,
so what are we
everything,
doing?
Everything Bill said, there's some truth to it that, yes, if Matt LaFleur said, I believe in my guys, I believe in
you
Jordan
know how
Love.
He also says, I believe in you? By keeping them on the freaking field.
That's right. And that's where I was going to go eventually was to say, but he didn't feel that way at first. You threw the field goal team out there, and you burned a timeout in order to get to that point.
I've actually seen a team do this to the Packers, where I think it might have been the where they sent somebody out, and then they threw the offense back in quick.
But why? Jared Goff got in his ear.
No.
Yes.
No, that wasn't
But Dan Campbell's a fourth down guy.
You're not inflating. You're inflating for your overall point. Well, he's yelling at me right now.
He just shushed you. He just shushed you.
He wasn't shushing me. He was shushing Ben.
Oh, whoever.
All I'm trying to say is when a head coach says to go for it after sending the field goal unit out, they ran out to make the defense call a timeout because they weren't ready. Matt LaFleur's offense called the timeout to make that decision. That is the difference.
I thought you were talking about the Packer game where Dan Campbell changed his mind.
I wasn't talking about that specifically.
I
don't
because I don't like this negativity. My football team is 4-1-1. My football team, we knew going into this game against this Arizona Cardinal football team, especially with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, we were all like, okay, you know what? He's a good veteran. This football team ain't that bad, and they look good. The Cardinals look good. They did what they've done the whole season. They couldn't finish football games, and the Packers, you know, they went into the game, they played the way they did, but they're able to finish the football game. So for me, when I look at it, the fact that the Packers came out with a victory, despite, to me, not playing consistent football throughout four quarters, I was happy. I was mad. At halftime,
yeah,
I was mad.
Because Jordan Love is convincing Matt LaFleur to do things. Yeah, so you're thrilled.
I am very thrilled about that. I think Bill Johnson alluded to it. I said finally. I was finally excited that Jordan Love actually spoke up and said something. This is part of the maturation that you need to have.
What are we doing
coach,
here?
Brett, have you ever been in a locker room where a quarterback told a coach, we want to go for it?
Yes.
Okay, period. My whole point. It happens all the time where they change the mind of their football coach and say, we want to go for this.
Would you say it's a good coaching decision to listen to your players or to be a coach and coach the way that you coach?
I would love to have the coach make the decision separate from what your players plead you to or to not do.
But when they do that, they listen. Players say, okay, let's do it. They believe in it.
I'm glad and it inspires confidence in me that Jordan Love has found his voice and his leadership ability to be able to say back to Matt LaFleur
He looked at him.
I've seen Aaron Rodgers get upset and mad about it.
Face.
So, again, quarterbacks do this all the time, and so I'm excited that my quarterback finally did that. So, for me, y'all can sit here and try to paint a negative, but I'm not. I'm not at all.
Nobody's trying to say that Matt LaFleur is inept. There are moments.
Oh, I don't know. Matty Mouse over here.
In the critical moments where he just looks indecisive, and that just is going to be a painful moment sometime in the future in the playoffs if that continues.
And Matt LaFleur told Jason Wilde today when Jason joined us, he said Matt LaFleur said he was already leaning towards going for it, but then
so
when
why
he
don't
saw
you
the
revisionist history
Ooh,
much?
Now you're not trusting. Now you're calling him a liar.
Hell no! Watch down or up.
The field goal unit was on the field.
Yeah, and then he called the timeout.
I'm done with Kyle. You are the best Packer fan you could ever be today.
Can somebody tell me what place the Packers are in the NFC North?
That would be first, Kyle.
That's
let's go.
Not the
Can somebody tell me what place my Packers are in the total NFC right now?
Second?
Second, I believe.
Well, first until the Lions.
No, the Buccaneers are 5-1.
Yeah,
they play tonight.
Yeah, the Buccaneers.
They have a better winning percentage.
So, yeah, we're right up there. We're on the top 10.
No,
we're not doing that. Last time we did that, and Shohei Ohtani shut us up quick.
Let's go, Packers.
I'm not doing that. But that's what you do when your team, you know the inevitable is coming. You don't do that when your team has actually got a chance. Our team actually has a chance, Trump. So no.
I just, you're so brainwashed. I'm sad for you, Kyle.
I'm not brainwashed at all.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN.
Well, the dance floor specifically. I'm still sore, man. I dance my booty off.
But you don't have muscles.
You don't have a booty. So I don't know how you dance at all. You asked your back off. Your back.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Friday night I crashed your party. Saturday I said I'm sorry.
Oh, you are earning that paycheck. Maybe driving home from work right now. Make sure that paycheck's doing a little bit of earning for you, and you got to make sure that your finances are in order, every single pillar of it. No other place to do that than Bank 5-9. Bank 5-9 here in southeastern Wisconsin has 14 branch locations. Not only that, though, earning awards stacking them left and right. Named a top workplace for 16 straight years. Also named the prestigious Community Choice Award as best bank in the Milwaukee area. Not surprising to me, their focus is making lives better. What other bank do you know that has their mission statement as making lives better? They're going to make your life better as a customer. They're going to make the lives better of employees. But more importantly, they're making lives better all across southeastern Wisconsin. Charitable giving, volunteerism, all over the place. Bank 5-9 is leveraging their position to be able to make lives better, particularly of those who need their lives to be made just that much better. See how they can make your life better as a customer or however they can. Visit a local bank, a local bank branch, or visit bank59.com. Member FDIC.
Oh, man, seeing this is already annoying. It was bound to happen. Once I saw that the delusional fans of the South won four straight games. Mark chimes in on the Carbless Talk and Text line. I'm Mark in the 414. Who is better, the Bears or Packers?
Let them celebrate. You know,
I think he is a 414. I bet he's genuinely asked.
No, he probably. I mean, it's clear the Packers are better than the Bears. But I like this. The Bears have. I give them credit. They won games they're supposed to win. They took care of business. I mean, it might have been close or nail biters for some of them, but they won football games, and that's all you got to do is end up with the victory.
I will say it would make the triumph even bigger after all the. Well, we beat you in 2025.
Don't forget Ben Johnson saying, I've gotten real accustomed to beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. I mean, just painful. I hope the Bears keep winning so that when the Packers face off against the Bears,
I wouldn't go that far.
Just a little bit more painful, Kyle.
No, it's going to be a painful fall for them because they still have five more divisional games, and they already are 0-1 in one of them. So.
They were 4-2 last year at one point. Did you know that?
Yeah, that was before the disaster happened.
Their
right?
schedule is pretty bad, though. I'm not going to lie. They're a pretty bad schedule.
I mean,
they have a last place schedule, and the other teams they're playing aren't that good. So I don't know. They might end up with 8 or 9 wins.
Well, just wanted to get the quick pulse on the who's better, the Bears or Packers, on the Carbos Talk and Text line. Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman. Strofe's running the show. UKB Nation 800-990-3776 or on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. Now, I guess Micah Parsons is something that we haven't really gone that much in depth on, but like I think we need to take a moment here. Yeah, sure, the Cardinals played him one-on-one way too often, but oh boy. I mean,
Micah.
Brad.
Dude.
You told me something where it was like, if you don't mind sharing what Lexi had to share with you.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, Lexi, the first wife of the Northern State.
The first wife.
First wife. What do I say?
First lady.
First lady. Excuse me.
First wife. Second wife.
First and only wife.
Even you could probably hear me pause. I was like, wait, what do I call her again?
You're sleeping.
First lady of the Northern State. We're watching the game. And, you know, Lexi, she makes great observations. And when Lexi makes an observation, that's when I know is jumping off the page, right? And she says, boy, that number one, I don't know how you block him. He's so fast. Uh-huh. And I was like, yeah, isn't that crazy, Lexi? He's so athletic. Look at those moves. Look at those hands, how quick he gets off the line. And she watches another play. He puts pressure on Jacoby Brissett again. She goes, oh, I just don't even know how you could possibly block him.
He's so fast.
So when Lexi's making observations like that, I tell you what, that's how you know it's jumping off the screen.
Yeah, whoa! It's a little backhandy. Lexi's making those observations.
She go to a lot of football games in Carolina and Jacksonville.
She's a football fan.
Okay, good. Yeah,
but she, you know,
she saw good football. She knows when somebody's jumping off the screen.
Yeah, a little Saxonville of that there in Jacksonville. But yeah, I mean, she's. Let's put it this way, Lexi's
What you think of Daniel Wheeler?
Lexi's not dissecting the game, right? She's looking at her phone. She'll look up this or that. So when you see the blur. That is Micah Parsons, and even Lexi goes, it catches her attention. That's how you know it's a big deal.
I was just thinking to myself, it's so good to see it happen after the discussions we've had about the second half defense, like 80 points in the second half and overtime they'd given up. To then, we probably played this scenario once a year based off the way the Packers team is constructed.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have the ball trying to score to win the game? Or would you rather be up with your defense on the field to win the game? This was a situation where that sack that he had after sitting out and coming back in, putting them in a spot where it's now like, damn, time's really starting to tick. You are able to just send guys at Jacoby Brissett, not let, you know, they don't have Jamar Chase. Like, Marvin Harrison's okay, but he was going against Nate Hobbs when he made the majority of his catches. Trey McBride's not a downfield, like he's a middle of the field possession receiver who's really, really good and strong, and I don't know how he's left open for the second touchdown. But they don't have anybody that's like you can just throw it to that's gonna make like a crazy.
Ain't
got
no go-to guy like that.
So to be able to put him back, and I believe was 2nd and 19 or 3rd and 19.
Put him back a couple times on that drive, and defense.
The defense
gave
did.
Up.
And that's why you trade for someone like that, because you need them to show up and get sacks in the moments that matter most, not just early in the game.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the whole team, but obviously Micah contributed the most yesterday.
Yeah, Micah contributed the most. Rashawn Gary had some plays as well when he had that sack fumble as well. And so for me, I got a text message that said, what was that evil laugh? That evil laugh was the fact that, like you said, after Michael Parsons went off the field for two plays and then came back in and got a sack, all I could do was absolutely laugh because, boy, oh, boy, this is something that's special. Why they would try to one-on-one block him is beyond me. But he was the difference in that game. You do not win that football game if you do not have Michael Parsons harassing the quarterback right there. So for me, this is why you traded for him. This is why you invest all that money in him, because this is what he can do. He can help put football games away. He can give other guys opportunities to be able to pass rush. He can take away a lot of attention. So this is why you make that investment. And what, to me, him going off that field for two plays, they talked about it on the broadcast, like, okay, he's gone. But then he came back on the field. That just lets you know when it's time to go, he can go. Not a lot of guys can say, all right, let me just catch my breath here so I can finish off this game. Micah is one of the very rare few, and he's on our defense. So this is great to see that Micah stepped up in the biggest moment when we needed him to seal this victory.
Yeah, you know, it's such money well spent. The first-round draft picks, the contract extension. Anyone that wondered, oh, it's kind of a steep price to play for Micah Parsons. After six games, I think it's a no-doubter. I mean, this defense is having success primarily because of him. And even when they're kind of struggling, where maybe the secondary is getting gashed a time or two, think of how much worse it would be if you didn't have Micah Parsons. It would be the comfortable quarterback, hit the ball, and then throw downfield at leisure. But with Micah Parsons, it seems like he's always
in
there.
Kyle would have an aneurysm watching Nate Hobbs every play get through Matt.
The way some of these corners have played, it definitely would cause some issues. But, I mean, just yesterday, Micah Parsons had 10 pressures?
At least.
Ten pressures?
Nine, and I think that the 10th was the third sack.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It was insane. So, yes, I don't know. It was insane. I don't know where this team would be because the defensive backs already are a problem. I shouldn't say defensive backs because the safeties are good. The cornerbacks are a problem.
Lucas Van Ness. So, I mean, it was a huge time for him to come through. And
some young guys on the line.
Props to Rashawn Gary for finally helping create a forced fumble.
So, and some of the pushback on Micah Parsons was, well, two things. Well, he's not very good at run stopping. His run stopping Pro Football Focus grade, it's in the mid-70s, which is kind of average, significantly better than Kenny Clark's rush grade this year so far. So he's actually a benefit to the line on run stopping. But even more so, everyone was saying, you know what? He kind of picks and chooses. He doesn't really have a motor, only in certain moments. I haven't seen that whatsoever. It doesn't matter what part of the game it is. First down, second down, third down, fourth down. This man is a motor.
He lost a sack, too, because he had the little drop tackle where he pulled his body down. So he lost one. He was harassing, and he made some good plays in the run game, too. So he was playing special out there yesterday.
Stevie's a big fan of the Kyle Mumble take.
It was incredible. So, again, I can't wait to this game against Aaron Rodgers, because guess what? Micah going hunting again, baby.
Well, tune in on Friday for Green Bay props and preview because we will give our dog of the game, in which Brad had Micah as dog of the game. And if your dogs don't always listen to you, and you ask yourself, why don't they listen to what you say? Look no further than the Sit Means Sit, because in Green Bay game night as well, you get Sit Means Sit to give you their actual dog of the game. You can have a happy, confident, and obedient dog. Contact Sit Mean Sit Dog Training in Milwaukee or Waukesha to schedule a free consultation. That's sitmeansit.com. Check out their Milwaukee or Waukesha pages. Wheel of Strofe. Woohoo! Next.
You're listening to Kyle Brust and Nortman, KBN.
I'm a tool. I'm a tool. My name is Ben Brust, and I'm a tool.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. I went to a
shrink to Kyle Brust and Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, Super Bowl 50 runner-up, Badger football alum. Brad Nortman to my left. Alex Strofe is running the show. Hit us on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776, or, of course, on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. Now, again, if you missed it earlier today, after being shut out twice since the 70s, first time at home since when, Kyle?
First time at home since 1968. Boy, I was just a twinkle in my daddy eye.
More.
Hardly that, even.
My daddy was only a very young kid at that time.
I don't know if he had a twinkle. Yeah, no twinkles yet for daddy. Chris McIntosh put out a letter to Badger Nation and talks about his years being a student athlete, especially with seeing Rose Bowl teammates from back in the day in town against Ohio State. But ultimately, it's a lot of writing, and it's a lot of words, and there is a part in which it says, athletics is committed to elevating the investment into our football program to position us to compete at the highest level. And again, my biggest frustration when I'm reading this letter to Badger Nation is, how do you spend $8 million to bring Luke Fickell, $8 million per year to bring him to be the head coach, and then in the middle of the season, as Alex Strofe said, put out this statement that is now saying, we're going to ramp it up. We're going to invest in the program. The responses on Twitter, X, and the Carbless Talk and Text Line just show it just is sitting with people the wrong way. Brad, you're obviously the football alum. I would love to get a look at your group text of teammates.
Yeah, I mean, it's met with shock, guys. And this letter that Mac put out, it reeks of panic. It reeks of desperation. I mean, you only do this when things are truly hitting rock bottom. I thought there were multiple moments where I was like, oh, it can't get any worse than this. And it continues to get worse. And I just look at this as someone who grew up a Badger fan right here in Wisconsin and played for the team, wondering how we got here, because this is a program that I hardly recognize anymore. Culture that has been so focused and so built on the Wisconsin grit and passion and keeping people in state, all the relationships between alumni and relationships between high school football coaches, all of those are not focused on. I mean, this coaching staff and Luke Fickell are not doing the things that has built this program. It's almost like coming in, wanting to reinvent it, tearing it all down to reinvent it. Well, it's certainly torn down, but it hasn't been built back up. And now we are left with a product on the field that looks completely unrecognizable to the normal motion W that we normally see out there. And with Mac doubling down on the product on the field and this coaching staff, it puts him firmly in the crosshairs for blame to be put on him for this debacle.
Kyle had me really sad, because now as you speak of like the identity and who the Badgers were and what they become, you had said, Kyle, that you were frustrated watching the end of game because they were running the clock out, running the football, because they wanted to get out of there as soon as possible. The first thing I think of as Brad is speaking is I think of like literally not running the score up, but running the score up. Like the hammer was laid.
We scored 83 points on Indiana. My senior year at Wisconsin.
They're averaging 85 points in Big Ten play.
They may not score 83 points in Big Ten play this entire season. That's the reality of this situation. And that's the biggest problem that I have, is the points that they're averaging. But overall, when you hear people chanting, fire somebody, right? This is Wisconsin football. We had some gripes, and we were upset when Paul Chris was losing some football games. The Illinois game was absolutely it for us. But you never heard fire Chris chants. We are in year three, and we're already hearing Fire Fickle halfway through the football season. So when Mac hears that week after week, he hears all the pressure, he sees all the news. Remember, he already had a meeting with select media members to kind of calm everything down, and now it's becoming overwhelming where he decided that he wanted to pen a letter that he knew would go public because this football program is in the depths of badness, terribleness, something that we have never seen in the last 30, 40-some-odd years. Right now, we may be witnessing the worst Badger football team of all time. So he had to write a letter. He had to do something. I said he'd a fire, man, because he had to put out this fire. But guess what?
He's not putting out the fire, though. He's, he's getting everyone to talk about the Badgers even more by putting his name next to Luke Fickle. Chris McIntosh has put his name next to Luke Fickle, legitimately, in this statement. Coach Fickle sees the potential in this, what this team can be, as do I. And he shares the same disappointment and frustration. The potential what this team can be, what are, like, it's, again, reading that is a slap in the face to Badger fans who have watched Badger football for the last 30 years up to the last three. Yeah. They know what potential is. They know what winning looks like. This is not even on the same planet. It's so bad that nobody even recognizes it. People make plans over Badger Saturdays now because it's not a thing anymore. And you see it in the crowd. You see it in the play on the field. And again, like, you're saying put the fire out. This fires up everyone even more because it's I'm seeing a lot of Brad, you're the finance guy. Sunk cost fallacy?
Sunk cost fallacy. The more you put into something, the more likely you are to stick with it, even though you should absolutely run. And guys, this just goes back
run!
To... Run! Even when you...
Run like Jordan Love should have ran when Myles Garrett got by him.
He tried.
If you remember the fanfare that this regime started when they hired Fickle, they're talking about championships, that what was being done at Wisconsin is not good enough. And it was like mediocre to good, sometimes great for Wisconsin football. And that was the sell. That was the greatest oversell and underdeliver of my lifetime.
I don't know. I think it's Firefest and Wisconsin football under Luke Fickle.
I think, again, we're Wisconsin fans and we're attached to this. But fans who aren't from Wisconsin, I was with somebody who's a Minnesota Golden Gophers fan, and he said, oh, 25 points? Oh, Wisconsin can cover that at home. I said, brother, that was a terrible bet. You shouldn't have done that whatsoever because you're going to lose your money. Wisconsin is so bad. This might be the worst hire, not just in Wisconsin football history. This might be one of the worst hires in FBS history. Have you ever seen a program fire somebody for not being good enough when you were talking about a team that won 7, 8, 9 sometimes 10 football games, and saying that isn't good enough because we're not competing for championships, and now they are staring down not winning a single Big Ten conference game. This is the biggest fall in Big Ten history that I have ever seen.
The landscape was changing, and they made a swing, and again, it might be the worst hire, but again, hand up. We all thought it was going to be the right hire.
I have just caveats.
Huh?
I had one caveat that I would have liked, but I still thought it was going to be okay.
I
thought Jim Leonard was going to be the DC. I thought he was going to do exactly what happened when he
the co-defensive coordinator, but when you hire someone for $8 million, you let him do what you hire him to do, and that's to bring in the people that he think is best.
And he brought us to the toilet.
But that's what makes this so interesting, right? This week, specifically with Chris McIntosh and his letter, because for the longest time, I would say, okay, yeah, this seems like the right hire from the outside looking in, but struggling has occurred. This program has descended and is completely burned down. 30 years of building up a program has been burned down in 3 years. And instead of saying, you know what, hand up, I made a mistake. We need to redirect. We can't lose what Wisconsin is because this on the field is not Wisconsin football. Instead of redirecting, a doubling and tripling down on Luke Fickle, it's inexplicable for Mac to do that. And
right.
I just wonder what
like
the motivation is.
Now.
Well, if he fires him, what happens? Does Mac get fired too? Is he saying, hey,
but
I got
to
triple down?
But he's trying to stop the bleeding.
I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you this now. There's no coach who's going to stop the bleeding this
year. I already said the Titanic hit the iceberg. The Titanic hit the iceberg.
But they
can't patch it up and save it.
But they still think they can get to New York.
They can't.
Listen, I just want them to get to the end zone.
They can't do that either.
No, they won't get there.
Hell, with a field goal, I'll take 3 points. I would have celebrated us scoring 3 points
in
this game.
No. This is like the little Giants.
Yeah,
we gained a yard.
Have you watched the last two football games? A touchdown, I promise you, if the Badgers would have scored a touchdown that game in the fourth quarter, the crowd would have went crazy. Woo! We scored a touchdown.
You know,
we're in misery.
Every conversation
about the Badger football. You make good points, but it just brings my heart deeper and deeper into my like chest. It's so sad.
It's like witnessing a death in front of you. I mean, this is a Wisconsin football team that we've known and loved for decades.
Are we back to hospice talk again? Yeah. Are the Badgers in hospice?
And it's just not the same. It's just, that is not the team that I know and love.
So y'all think Luke Fickell has no chance of ever reviving this football team? If he got more money, more investment,
you can
from
give
him
$50 million, I wouldn't trust him with any of
it. I mean, if he couldn't do it with $50 million, then he is incompetent.
It's one thing to stay mediocre, which is, you could argue that's where the program sort of was, mediocre to good. It's sort of easy to stay mediocre. They've descended to the worst team in the Big Ten.
Y'all would love to be Iowa right now. Y'all would love to be Nebraska. Y'all would love to be Minnesota. Just a couple seasons ago, we were better than those teams or competing with those teams. Now they look at us and they circle us as, oh, that's an easy victory. We are an easy victory. Mm. Easy victory. People are looking at us saying, okay, well, that's
easy
like a bye week.
Easy money, them Badgers.
Listen. Oh, I don't know what the spread is, Wisconsin versus Oregon. Take Oregon. I don't care. Wisconsin ain't going out west and scoring a single point.
Oh, that's the window into Kyle Wallace's mind.
It is the window in my mind. A window that I love better than this Wisconsin Badger window, that is Universal Windows Direct, and it's October, and you guys know, you feel it. That weather is starting to shift. It was definitely cold this morning, and a matter of fact, you know, we turned the heat on this morning in our house, and guess what? Just like that, we started to feel that heat staying inside our house. Why? Because we have great windows with Universal Windows Direct, and right now, you can buy two windows, get two free, with absolutely no limit, plus enjoy 0% financing for 1, 2, but 3 whole years. And on top of that, get an extra $500 off your entire home improvement project when you schedule this month. Call 414-410-2000 or visit UniversalWindowsDirect.com to schedule your free estimate today. Buy two windows, get two free, 0% financing for 3 years, and a bonus $500 off your project. Boy, oh boy, that's why I always say I love my windows.
Quickly on the Carbless talking text line, 800-990-3776. Brian and Lake Mills, what do you got?
Yeah, a couple of things. I'll try to make it real quick. I was kind of hoping to go to a D3 game on Saturday, but then found out they played Friday, so disappointed right there. Dan Lanning is going to do what a college football coach should do with their team being in the top five. Just show no mercy. Ryan Day worked on the ground game because they're terrible and showed mercy on Fickell. Dan Lanning will not. It's going to be like a 60-point game on Saturday. Just awful. And then how could McIntosh look at his band of brothers that came back for the game and say, here's my plan and here's how I'm going to fix it? A GM coming in to get McIntosh out of Badger football to shift towards other athletics is not the answer, because he can't even do that right, and everyone knows that he screwed it all up. Fire McIntosh, fire Fickell, start all over. This is just utterly ridiculous and disappointing.
Thank you for the
Badger
call, Brian. We really appreciate it.
It's good stuff.
800-990-3776, the Carbless talking text line. We do have to wrap up the show with Brian Bulaga. We get to wrap up the show with Super Bowl champ Brian Bulaga next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
You know Italian. What do you mean?
You know Italian?
You know Italian.
Yeah, he's right.
Oui, oui. That's French. But you had gelato.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second.
Joining us now on Kyle Brustin-Ortman is the Super Bowl champ, Brian Bulaga. Brian, welcome into the show.
How are we doing today?
Well, the Brewers season ended. The Badgers still stink, but the Packers did pull it off and are 4-1-1. Your biggest takeaway from that game is blank.
My biggest takeaway from the game is that, hey, I finally got a road win. Right. I mean,
yeah.
I think that was my biggest thing. You know, everyone wanted to see, you know, full game, this, that. I mean, I think my biggest thing that I wanted to see was them get a win on the road. Right. I mean, lost to Cleveland, tied to Dallas, needed to see a road win. Right. I mean, and they faced adversity before they even got to Arizona. Then they had to go play the game, and there was adversity throughout the game. And how did they respond to it? And to me, winning on the road is a tough thing no matter where you go, no matter who you play. And we've seen that throughout this very young season with this team. And, you know, getting a road win against Arizona, regardless of what their record is or this or that, I mean, they've lost 5 games by a total of 13 points, right? I mean, like, a play here or there in Arizona is like a very respectful winning team, right? I mean, that's the way their season's gone up to this point. So they're a solid team, and Brissett played. I mean, I should have expected him to play this way because he showed how well he could play against Indy, who obviously Indy is playing phenomenal ball right now. Brissett played well again. So I think it's a quality win on the road. It wasn't the cleanest, but again, a win's a win. You walk out of there and move on to the next one.
Well, Brian, I'm intrigued by this caller and what he has to say. So I'm actually going to have you listen in and react to what Mike in Milwaukee has to say on the Carbus Talking text line. Mike, you're up on KBN with Brian Balaga here.
Hey, how are you? My take on it is kind of opposite of what Balaga's saying. This is Jacoby Brissett. I'm impressed with Parsons. I think he had a great day, but I need to put it in perspective. He's not a starting quarterback. He's not that good. I think when he goes up against Rodgers, it's going to be different. He'll be good at getting rid of the ball fast. And I'm impressed with Parsons, but you know, yesterday's performance wasn't a deal breaker for me.
Thank you for the call, Mike. Starting it off with I'm opposite of the Super Bowl champ Brian Balaga is an interesting way to start it, just because he's got the knowledge. Brian, what do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not impressed with Micah Parsons' 3-sack performance.
Can't help you.
He
literally came in after sitting out and then made a sack in the biggest moment of the game.
I mean, that sack happened in about 2 seconds. So I get Aaron's dealing the ball fast right now, but he'll sack Aaron if that's how fast he's getting there. So, I mean, I get Aaron's getting the ball out quick right now. Like, I understand that. I mean, I get it. Aaron's dealing the ball quick. But, like, listen, I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from Parsons because Brissett's back there. Okay, so, like, if we're going to say Brissett's not a starting QB, I understand that. But he plays the Colts, who are arguably, I mean, you could say they're the best team, one of the best teams in the NFL right now. And he drops 350 against the Colts. I mean, he's doing something right. Like, he's doing something okay as a quarterback at the moment. So, like, you got to respect the guy, the way the guy's playing. Like, you got to respect the way he's playing quarterback. He's thrown into a tough moment against a really good Packers defense and obviously against a really good Colts defense. And he's playing pretty well. Right. I mean, you have to give him credit for what he's doing. And I mean, regardless if he holds the ball for 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 4 seconds, I mean, getting sacks, and he got three of them. Right. I mean, get three sacks, you get three sacks. It's to get one in a game, guys get patted on the helmet for that. That's a great game for them. You get two, that's a phenomenal game. You get three. I mean, that's career type game. So, like, to me,
one call back, too.
Yeah, I got one called back. So to me, like, I think it was a really good game. Doesn't matter if it's against Brissett or not. I mean, listen, there's going to be one thing that I know Mike Tomlin will definitely do. He probably won't leave Parsons alone on an edge like Arizona did. Much. I will say that. And Aaron won't either. Aaron knows better than that. He won't go into too many protections. Leaving Parsons out there by himself.
They're going to put that big tight end Darnell Washington on Micah's side every time. They'll just put him in motion and follow him. It's like when you're at the free throw line, you got the box out, you try and get like the biggest guy next to him. Just put the big tight end in chip.
Yeah, Brian, I wanted to ask about one moment in the game. The game-winning drive for the Packers. 4th and 2, field goal team goes out there, timeout. Matt LaFleur changes his mind and goes for it after Jordan Love expresses his displeasure for that decision. What do you make of that whole interaction? Impressive for Jordan Love or sort of scratching your head at Matt LaFleur's indecision?
No, I mean, I think it's – I'm not really scratching my head at the indecision of Matt LaFleur. Like, I think the quarterback – listen, there's a play clock, right? So, like, decisions have to get made, right? Like, you got to make those decisions fast and, you know – calls a timeout, sends them out there. They have a discussion on the sideline. Quarterback feels confident in it. You ride with your quarterback, and he feels good about it.
Yeah,
right?
Ride with your quarterback.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
You call the play, and it works out really well, right? Like, and I think that's the way I look at it. And
me too, Brian.
Because to me, I was sitting there initially going, kick the field goal. Like, that's the way I was looking at it. But
football guy.
I'm not out there, so they proved me wrong.
They sure. That's what I'm talking about,
Brian. They sure what?
They sure did. They proved you wrong, and I'm glad they did, man. I'm standing behind Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love. Thank you, Brian.
And Brian Bulaga.
And Brian Bulaga, Super Bowl champion, by the way.
Who is coming up next with Homer on the Homer Hour, so don't go anywhere. You got Homer and the Super Bowl champ, Brian Bulaga, taking you from 5 to 6 right here on 94.5 ESPN. For KBN, we will talk to you tomorrow, Homer Hour, in 2 minutes.